Ayrım 22.
Gandalf.
Hello, Frodo. All well, eh?
All well. Though I've missed seeing my friend Gandalf. Come in.
Thank you, Frodo. Well, you look the same as ever.
So do you. Or as far as I can remember.
Yes. It's been too long.
I thought you'd abandoned the Shire forever. But I expect you've had more important people to visit than hobbits.
Important, yes, but not necessarily more important. In fact, my visit now is of the utmost importance.
I'm sorry, Gandalf, I don't understand.
The ring, Frodo. Bilbo's ring. It's dangerous. Far more dangerous than even I had guessed. But such matters are best left until daylight. We'll talk about it in the morning.
All right.
That was an excellent breakfast, Frodo.
Good. Now. How about a pipe before we talk?
Splendid. I once told Bilbo, the one thing I miss about the Shire when I'm not there, in part, of course, from having breakfast with an agreeable hobbit, is its pipeweed.
Well, now, which would you like? Longbottom Leaf or Old Toby? or Southern Star?
Oh, I used to smoke Old Toby with Bilbo, so let it be that.
Right. Help yourself.
Thank you, Frodo. Sam's at work early, I see.
Yes. A great fellow, Sam. He manages the garden by himself now. Gaffer's getting on. Now, Gandalf, last night you began to tell me that you thought the ring was dangerous. If it is, then I must know in what way.
Mm-hmm. In many ways. Which far more powerful than I ever dared to suppose. So powerful that in the end it would utterly overcome any one of mortal race who possessed it. It would possess him.
How do you mean, possess him?
A mortal, Frodo, who keeps one of the rings of power, does not die. Hmm? He doesn't grow or obtain more life. He merely continues until at last every minute is weariness. And if he often uses the ring to make himself invisible, he fades. He becomes, in the end, permanently invisible and walks in twilight under the eye of the dark power that rules the rings.
How terrifying. And Bilbo, how much did Bilbo know about all this?
Very little, I'm sure. It seemed to him that something was wrong or odd, but he thought it was himself. He said he felt stretched, but he didn't suspect that the ring was to blame for the fact that he showed no signs of age. But it was an indication that the ring was getting control.
But there wasn't any permanent harm done, was there? He would get all right in time, wouldn't he?
I don't think you need worry about Bilbo. Of course, he possessed the ring for many years and used it and lied to others about how he came by it, so it may take a long while for the influence to wear off. But the important thing is, he gave it up in the end of his own accord. No, once he'd let the thing go, I wasn't troubled about dear Bilbo anymore. No, it's for you that I feel responsible.
Me?
Yes. You and all these charming, absurd, helpless hobbits. It would be a grievous blow if all the jolly, stupid Bolgers, Boffins, and Bagginses became enslaved.
But what?
You don't know the real peril yet. But you shall. Give me the ring for a moment.
There.
I spoke of there being rings of power, for there were many. Some more potent and some less. They were forged by the elven smiths long ago. The lesser rings were only essays in the craft, but the great rings, they were perilous.
Is this one of them?
No. The great rings had each a gemstone. This ring, you see, is quite plain and unadorned.
But then is it one of what you call the lesser rings?
No, I think not. Frodo, can you see any markings on it at all?
No.
Well, then, let's see what a little fire will reveal.
But, Gandalf, my ring! It will be damaged!
Wait.
But Gandalf, the fire!
Wait. Now, let's look at the ring. Take it, Frodo.
I can't.
Go on, go on, go on. It's quite cool. Take it. Now, hold it up and look closely. Well, what do you see?
There are fiery letters. Outside and inside. But I cannot read them.
No, but I can. The letters are Elvish. But the language is that of Mordor. One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness, bind them.
What does it mean, Gandalf?
It's only two lines of a verse long known in Elven lore. Three rings for the Elven kings under the sky, seven for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone, nine for mortal men doomed to die, one for the Dark Lord on his dark throne in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness, bind them in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. This is the Master Ring, the one ring to rule them all. This is the one ring lost many years ago to the great weakening of its maker's power. Now, he greatly desires to have it again. But he must not get it.
What I don't understand, Gandalf, is whose ring this is if it is not one of the Elven rings.
This ring was made to rule the Elven rings. It was made, Frodo, by Sauron the Great, the Dark Lord of Mordor. It's he who is seeking it.
But stories are told of Sauron's fall long ago.
That is so, but always, after a respite, the shadow takes another shape and grows again. He's fast becoming very strong. And he lacks but one thing to give him strength and knowledge to beat down all resistance, break the last defenses, and cover all the lands in darkness. He lacks the one ring.
But what of the other rings which that verse spoke of?
Three of them, the fairest of all, the Elf Lords, hid from him. The others Sauron took and gave seven to the dwarf kings, who used them for getting great wealth. Nine he gave to mortal men, proud and great, and so ensnared them. The wearers of the nine are now fell servants of the Dark Lord, ring-wraiths in his power. It's many years since they walked abroad. Yet who knows, as the shadow grows once more, they too may walk again. And the one ring was his. He made it and wore it.
But how did he come to lose it if he was so strong?
It's ancient history and a long story. It was Gil-galad, the Elven king, and Elendil of Westerness, who overthrew Sauron, though they themselves perished in the deed. But Isildur, Elendil's son, cut the ring from Sauron's hand and took it for his own. Thus was Sauron vanquished, for a while at least.
But the ring? What happened to the ring?
The ring was lost. Isildur was marching north when he was waylaid by orcs, and almost all his followers were slain. He leapt into the waters of the great river Anduin, but the ring slipped from his finger as he swam, and then the orc saw him and killed him with arrows. And there, in the river, the ring passed out of knowledge and legend. But I think I can now carry on the story. Long after Isildur lost the ring, but still long ago, a hobbit-like folk lived beside the river. One day, the two of them were fishing in the river. They were called Smeagol and Deagol. And Deagol it was who found the ring.
What a beautiful thing.
How could anyone have lost such a treasure?
What is that, Deagol?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's mine. I found it.
Give us it, Deagol, my love.
Why?
Because it's Smeagol's birthday, my love, and he wants it.
I don't care. I've given you a present already. I found this, and I'm going to keep it.
Oh, are you indeed, my love? Are you indeed? And now, the pretty ring belongs to Smeagol.
Smeagol kept the ring and used it to thieve and find out secrets. He took to muttering to himself and gurgling in his throat, so they called him Lollum.
Golem? Mm. Do you mean that this is the very golem creature that Bilbo met?
Yes. He took to living in the dark passages beneath the misty mountains, where in time his torment became unbearable. He hated the dark, but he hated the light more. He hated everything, and the ring most of all.
Well, then why didn't he get rid of it or go away and leave it?
He had no will left in the matter. The Ring of Power looks after itself, Frodo. Its keeper never abandons it. And when Gollum lost the ring, it was really the ring that left him.
What, just in time to meet Bilbo?
Bilbo was meant to find the ring, but not by its maker.
What about Gollum? What happened to him?
The elves have him now in prison, but not before he made great mischief. After he lost the ring, Gollum left the mountains to seek his precious and the hobbit who'd robbed him of it. But before Gollum could find Bilbo, Sauron found Gollum. And that is how he will have learned that the One has been found again. He has at last heard of hobbits and the Shire. And I fear that he may even think that the long unnoticed name of Baggins has become important.
But this is terrible. What a pity Bilbo did not kill Gollum when he had a chance.
Pity? It was pity that stayed his hand. One reason why Bilbo took so little hurt from the evil of the ring was because he began his ownership with pity.
I'm sorry, but I'm frightened, and I do not feel any pity for Gollum.
You must understand that Gollum is bound up with the fate of the ring. My heart tells me that he may yet have some part to play, for good or ill. And when that comes, the pity of Bilbo may rule the fate of many. Yours not least.
But why did the ring come to me? Why was I chosen?
Not for power or wisdom. But you have been chosen, and must therefore use such strength and heart and wits as you have.
But I have so little of those things. Gandalf, you are wise and powerful. Will you not take the ring?
No, no, no. No, do not tempt me. I dare not take it. With that power, I should have power too great and terrible.
Then why don't I destroy it?
How would you do that?
Well, I suppose one could hammer it or melt it.
The heaviest hammer would make no dint in it, nor would the hottest fire melt it. You saw how your own small fire failed to even heat it.
Yes.
If you really wish to destroy it...
I do, Gandalf, I do.
Then there is only one way. Cast it into the cracks of doom, in the depths of Orodruin, the Fire Mountain, in the land of Mordor where the ring was forged.
Gandalf, I am not made for perilous quests. But I see that I cannot keep the ring and stay here. I ought to leave Bag End, leave the Shire, leave everything and go away. And I suppose I must go alone.
My dear Frodo, hobbits really are amazing. And I'm afraid you're right. For your sake, as well as for others, you will have to go. But I don't think you need go alone. Not if you know of anyone you can trust. But be careful in choosing.
But
the enemy has many spies.
What's the matter, Gandalf?
Got you. Well, bless my beard. Sam Gamgee. And what might you be doing under Mr. Frodo's window?
Lord bless you, Mr. Gandalf, sir. Nothing! Leastways, I was just trimming the grass borders, if you follow me.
I don't. How long have you been eavesdropping?
Begging your pardon, sir, but there ain't no eaves at Bag End, and that's a fact.
Don't be a fool. What have you heard? Why did you listen?
Mr. Frodo, sir, don't let him hurt me, sir. Don't let him turn me into anything unnatural. My old dad would take on so. I mean no harm, on my honor, sir.
He won't hurt you. But just you up and answer his questions straight away.
Well, sir, I heard a deal that I didn't understand about an enemy and rings and a fiery mountain and elves, sir. I listened because I couldn't help myself, if you know what I mean. I do love tales of that sort and believe them, too. I'd dearly love to see some elves, sir.
What else did you hear?
Well, Mr. Frodo is going away, sir. And that's why I choked, which you heard, seemingly. I tried not to, sir, but it burst out of me. I was so upset.
It can't be helped, Sam. I have to go. But if you really care about me, you will keep that a dead secret. See? If you don't, if you even breathe a word of what you've heard, then I hope Gandalf will turn you into a spotted toad and fill the garden full of grass.
Oh, no, sir!
I have thought of something better than that.
No, Mr. Gandalf, sir, please.
Something to shut your mouth and punish you properly for listening. You shall go away with Mr. Frodo.
Me, sir? Me, go and see elves and all? Oh, hooray, sir!
Gandalf stayed in the Shire for over 2 months. Then one evening, at the end of June, he made a sudden announcement.
I'm leaving tomorrow, Frodo.
Oh.
Only for a short while, I hope. But I'm going down beyond the southern borders to get some news, if I can. I've been idle longer than I should.
Has anything happened?
Well, no, but I've heard something that has made me anxious and needs looking into. I think you should leave as soon as possible now.
I thought I'd go on September the 22nd. It will be my 50th birthday and Bilbo's 128th. That seems somehow a proper date on which to set out and follow the old fellow.
Very well, but it must not be any later. It's almost the end of June already.
How long will you be, Gandalf?
I shall come back immediately, or at least send word. At the very latest, I'll be back by your birthday. I think, after all, you may need my company on the road.
Will it be that dangerous?
It may be. One thing you must remember. When you go, you must leave the name of Baggins behind you.
But
I'll give you a travelling name. When you go, go as Mr. Underhill. And in the meanwhile, do take care. Don't let out any hint of where you're going.
Underhill. But where am I to go? I've been so taken up with the thoughts of leaving Bag End and of saying farewell that I've never even considered the direction.
If you want my advice, make for the house of Elrond, half-elven, at Rivendell. That journey shouldn't prove too perilous, though the road is less easy than it was, and it'll grow worse as the year fails.
Rivendell. Very good. I will go east, and I will make for Rivendell. I will take Sam to visit the elves. He will be delighted.
Well, see that he doesn't talk. If he does, I really shall turn him into a toad.
And so Gandalf rode away, journeying to the southern borders of the Shire, where he heard news of the black shadow that disturbed him greatly. He turned then east and north, and so journeyed towards the village of Bree.
Gandalf! Gandalf! Gandalf the Grey!
Yes?
It is I, Radagast. Radagast the Brown.
Radagast. What are you doing here?
Oh, seeking you. All I knew was that you might be found in a wild region with the uncouth name of Shire.
It is the Shire. And you are near its borders now. But why are you seeking me? It must be pressing, for you are never a traveller, Radagast, unless driven by great need.
I have an urgent errand, and my news is evil.
Hmm?
The Nazgûl, the Nine, they are abroad again.
Ah.
They have crossed the river secretly and are moving westward. They have taken the guise of riders in black. The enemy must have some great need or purpose, but what it is that makes him look to these distant and desolate parts, I cannot guess.
Who told you this and who sent you?
Oh, the head of our order, Saruman the White. Oh, and he also told me to say that if you feel the need, he will help. But you must seek his aid at once, or it will be too late.
I will go to Saruman.
Then you must go now, Gandalf, for I have wasted time in looking for you, and the days are running short. I was told to find you before midsummer, and that is now here. Even if you set out now, you will hardly reach Saruman before the Nine discover the land they seek. I myself shall turn back at once.
Radagast, stay a moment. We shall need your help. and the help of all things that will give it. You are wise in the lore of beasts and birds. Send out messages to all of them that are your friends. Tell them to bring news of anything that bears on this matter to Saruman and Gandalf at Isengard.
Yes, I will do that. Fare you well, Gandalf.
Leaving a message with the innkeeper at Bree to be sent on to Frodo, Gandalf rode south to Isengard, a circle of sheer rocks that enclosed a valley in the midst of which stood a tower of stone called Orthanc. While in the Shire, Frodo still watched and waited for him, and the news that Mr. Baggins was up to something began to get about.
Well, Gaffer, is it true?
Aye, Daddy too, but it is true. Mr. Frodo's selling Bag End. Sold it, in fact, to those cousins of his, the Sackville Bagginses.
And for a nice bit, I'll be bound.
More likely for a bag and price if Mistress Lobelia's the buyer.
Poor old Otho. If only he'd lived a few more years, he'd have been master of Bag End after all.
Not that I wish to speak ill of the dead Ted Sandyman, but I, for one, say the fewer Sackville Bagginses at Bag End, the better. Mistress Lobelia and that there son of hers would be enough for me.
So, where's Mr. Frodo off to, Gaffer?
He's going back to live among his folk in Buckland.
I can't think why. They're queer folk in Buckland.
He'll be well at home there, then. He's as cracked as old Bilbo Baggins was.
There's naught wrong with Mr. Frodo, nor these friends of his in Buckland. Mr. Peregrine Took and Mr. Merry Haddock Brandybuck.
Brandybuck?
My Sam says Mr. Merry has found Mr. Frodo a little house in Crook Hollow.
But what will your Sam do now, Gaffer? Will Mr. Slobelia keep him on as gardener at Bag End?
No need. He's going with Mr. Frodo to look after his bit of garden there.
Oh, you know what, Gaffer? That son of yours is acting like he's as cracked as the Bagginses.
It was late one evening in July when Gandalf arrived at Isengard and was met by Saruman, who led him up to his chamber high in the tower Orthanc.
I have come for your aid, Saruman the White.
Have you indeed, Gandalf the Grey? For aid? It has seldom been heard of that Gandalf the Grey sought for aid. One so cunning and so wise. Wandering about the lands and concerning himself in every business, whether it belonged to him or not.
If I'm not deceived, things are now moving, which will require the union of all our strength.
That may be so, but the thought is late in coming to you. What brings you now from your lurking place in the Shire?
The Nine have come forth again. They've crossed the river, so Radagast said to me.
Radagast the Brown. Radagast the Bird Tamer. Radagast the Simple. Radagast the Fool. Yet he had just the wit to play the part that I set him, for you have come, and that was all the purpose of my message. And here you will stay, Gandalf the Grey. For I am Saruman the Wise, Saruman of many colors.
I like white better.
White. It serves as a beginning. White cloth can be dyed, the white page can be overwritten, and the white light can be broken.
In which case it is no longer white. And he that breaks a thing to find out what it is has left the path of wisdom.
I have not brought you here to be instructed by you, but to give you a choice.
What choice do you speak of, Saruman?
The elder days are gone. The middle days are passing. Younger days are beginning. The time of the elves is over, but our time is ahead. The world of men which we must rule. But we must have power. Power to order all things as we will, for that good which only the wise can see. Listen, Gandalf. My old friend and helper. I said we, for we it may be if you join with me. A new power is rising. Against it, the old allies and policies will not avail us at all. This, then, is the choice before you, before us. We may join with that power. It would be wise, Gandalf.
How could it ever be wise to join with Sauron, our enemy?
There is hope that way. His victory is at hand, and there will be rich reward for those who aided it.
Yes, Saruman, I have heard speeches of this kind before, but only in the mouths of emissaries sent from Mordor to deceive the ignorant. I cannot think that you brought me so far only to weary my ears.
Well, I see that this wise course does not commend itself to you. Not yet. Not if some better way can be contrived.
What better way?
The ruling ring? And why not, Gandalf? Why not? The power would pass to us if we could but command it.
Saruman, only one hand at a time can wield the one ring, and you know that well. So don't trouble to say we.
I have many eyes in my service, Gandalf, and I believe that you know where this precious thing now lies. Well, is it not so?
Now that I learn your mind, I will not even give you news of it.
You are a fool.
Well, your choices are, it seems, to submit to Sauron or to submit to you. I will take neither. Have you others to offer?
Yes. The third choice is to stay here. You shall contemplate your folly from the highest pinnacle of the Tower of Orthanc. Until the end.
Until what end?
Until you reveal to me where the One Ring may be found. Or until it is found in spite of you.
In episode 1 of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, adapted by Brian Sibley, the part of Frodo was played by Ian Holm, Gandalf by Michael Horden, Bilbo Baggins by John LeMessurier, and Gollum by Peter Woodthorpe. Sam, William Nye, Gaffer Gamgee, John Church, Sandyman, Gordon Reed, Daddy Twofoot, Leonard Fenton, Deagle, Graham Faulkner, Saruman, Peter Howell, Radagast, Donald G., The Lord of the Nazgul, Philip Voss, The Mouth of Sauron, John Rye, and The Nazgul, Christopher Scott, Michael Spice, and Hayden Wood. With Diana Bishop, Catherine Helbert, John Livesey, David McAllister, Martin Reed, and John Webb. The narrator was Gerard Murphy. The music was composed and conducted by Stephen Oliver. The director was Jane Morgan.